Hey, this is Laura.
And Steven.
And this is our podcast, Midday Musings, where we take our lunch break to talk about the things that are on our mind. Today, it's work life versus school life, the nature of group projects, how having a job during college helps you, and how being a bright light in a workplace helps everyone. Let's get into it. Hey there, Steven.
Hi, Laura.
How is it going?
You know what? Today, it's going pretty calmly. Yeah.
Ooh, I love that. I love a calm day.
Yeah, I woke up this morning, I took a yoga mat, I put it on the roof, and I did some stretches and just looked at the sky. Yeah.
Oh, very cool. You sun salutationed your way into the morning?
I did, yeah. A bird flew over my head, and that was surreal. I've never had a bird fly over my head before I've even had my morning coffee.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really nice. It was really nice. I've been trying to do a little more of that, a little more get up, go outside, look at the sky, take a deep breath, take it in, breathe it in, you know?
Okay, yeah. You are communing with nature. I assume you find solace in that.
I do.
Amazing.
I do. What about yourself? How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I guess I'm a little bit sleepy. I woke up today in like the 4 a.m.s and I had a decision in front of me. That decision was go back to sleep, completely viable, or go downstairs and start reading my book. And I was like, I think I'm going to try and get 100 pages in before I go off to do my daily obligations. And that's what I did.
So did you get through 100 pages?
I think I did. I can't remember where I started, but I'm at page 223 right now.
Nice.
Of a 380-page book. And I have 6 days to get it and another 300-pager back to the library. We're working on crunch time.
Yeah.
Like the clock's running out. The idiot still needs to be read. Cersei is well on its way. And then I get to go into like my next 4-stack, which I'm really looking forward to. My next 4-stack is like a short book called Days at the Morisaka Bookshop, Cleopatra and Frankenstein, Embassy Wife and Hamnet, A Novel of the Plague.
Hmm.
All of these I'm really, really looking forward to. But after like the 6-day time period on the 2 books that are quite large that I'm trying to read, I only have an additional 4 days to finish the 4-stack I just described.
Oh, man.
So, you know, we're bobbing, we're weaving, we're trying to read as much as humanly possible.
Yeah, barely. I believe in you. I believe you'll be able to get through them.
Thank you. There's going to be like a little bit of bath time that I have to throw up my evenings to just force myself to read and do nothing else.
And you know what? If you don't get through all of them, that is okay too. That is okay.
Oh, it is okay. Yeah. But I do want to read all of them with the possible exception of The Idiot. I started reading it and I switched out for my other books that I had been needing to read at that time. And I'll get back to it. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
It's about like an 18-year-old going to Harvard and experiencing, you know, youth.
Ah, the youth experience of Harvard. Quite relatable.
Yes, I too went to Harvard.
Yes, so did I. I've ever been to Harvard.
Actually, what's unrelatable about it is that this person is a full-time student.
Mm.
And I never lived that life. I was working through college and she's just like wandering around really fastidiously picking out classes and examining the social environment. And I'm like, this sounds very interesting for people who had this experience.
Yeah, it is. I was a full-time student and I worked part-time. So I suppose I did have that experience of going to school full-time. And it's interesting. It's like a dedicated time and space outside of the rest of time and space. It's a world within a world.
A liminal space.
It is. It's a liminal space. Yes. A transitory space.
Indeed.
But also a space you're in for 4 years. And it's interesting. I liked it, but I'm glad that I also worked when I went to school, because I think transitioning from going to school full time for 4 years, 4 to 5 years, depending on the person and the discipline, and not working at all, and then not going to school at all, and then working full time, that is a tough switch to
do. Yeah, it seems that way.
Because the process of work is so different from the process of school. In school, it's all input, 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 and then you output. I'd say it's about 80% input, 20% output in schools. But when you're at work, it's like 20%, if you're lucky, 10% input and like 80 to 90% output. You are just producing and making and driving things and creating stuff. And it's a lot, you know? So having both at the same time, having your school and your work simultaneously and getting used to doing that, the work side, I think it's helpful. Definitely helped me to do both.
Yeah, I believe that it helps quite strongly. My evidence to support this is that everyone I know who went to school full time had a real big problem getting a job after school.
Yeah.
Because that 4-year gap, it's intense. I don't know if the experience of going from school exclusively to work exclusively is all that jarring, but I know that the practical transition from leaving school and then finding a job seems to be quite laborious for people who weren't working during school. And I liked working during school because the ability to switch between tasks kept me engaged.
Yeah.
I was a big fan. Plus you have money.
Yeah. Having money is nice.
Yeah. I ate sushi occasionally. It was great.
Well, also you have a chance to take those skills you're learning in school and then see how they can be immediately applied and see which skills you're learning in school that aren't really applicable to the jobs that you're working, which is fine. Maybe the job you're working isn't a job you want to do forever, but assuming you're doing an internship or a job that's at least somewhat related to the field you want to work in, taking that knowledge and then immediately putting it to work in an internship or a college job just gives you insight into how valuable what you're learning is. And it lights a fire within you to remind you, oh, this stuff is so immediately applicable. I love this. And then you go back in with a renewed passion to learning and you see what's important for you to know. And then you just get better at your work. You get better at school. And it's the opposite of a vicious cycle. It's a virtuous cycle. It gives you more and more the more you go from work to school and work to school and back again.
They're different skill sets, and I find that they strengthen you in different areas. But what always stuck with me was my professors who worked with graduate level students would say to me that they really, really preferred working with students who had already been in the workforce because they were much, much better academic participants.
Oh,
they
sure.
They A, knew how to work, B, had a little bit of, for lack of a better word, sense. They had a good head on their shoulders.
Yeah.
They had been exposed to the real world, and real world experience seems to be beneficial even in an academic setting.
Absolutely.
They're certainly easier to work with. In fact, I think being easy to work with is the most profound legacy of working while going to school.
Oh, yeah.
Or working after school and then going back to school. Because in school, you're kind of operating as an individual contributor. You don't really have to work with your fellow students unless it's a group project, and those are avoided at almost all costs.
Oh, yeah. Everyone, I hate group projects. Yeah. We all hate them.
Yeah. Because only one person does the work, and that's brutal. But if you go to a normal workplace, a professional environment, it is a constant group project, and you're always having to negotiate between people and tasks, and that skill set is invaluable in academia.
Oh yeah, it really is. So group projects, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're right that in work you do a lot of group projects. In fact, my entire work life is a group project.
That's my experience of corporate as well.
Yeah, it's ongoing group projects. And it's true that in school group projects, because so much of it is you do research, you do writing, and then you do presentation. And that means that one person gets stuck with the writing, which is, to be honest, 80 to 90% of the work.
Oh, yeah.
So much of it is just the writing.
And then the presenting.
And usually if someone has written it, they're more comfortable and confident presenting, and that kind of gets pawned off on them. But you don't always find that in like work environments, like group projects. There is a lot of collaboration. Sometimes you'll write a document together and someone else will do the presentation. Someone else will pull in the research that you then incorporate into your stuff. So I find it is a lot more collaborative. At least what I found in school is that some people were really just trying to do the very bare minimum,
right,
to get through. Like they would be gone for weeks. And put in like maybe one line of work into the group project and then get full credit for it.
Yeah. But if you do that in a professional environment, you get fired.
Oh, yeah. Because you get those peer reviews, right? Of saying, well, we all worked on this, but this person literally did nothing. They put in one line of work. And so those peer reviews come back and they're like, this person's really bad.
Yeah. There's no way to survive operating in the professional world the way most students participate in group projects.
Yeah. Although,
and maybe that's why professional students are preferred.
Yeah. No, it's fair. And, you know, just thinking about the influence of work on a student and their psyche. Oftentimes when I meet people who are longtime students, you know, they've gone to get their bachelor's, they've gotten their master's, they've gotten their PhD, they're working on their second PhD, and they haven't really done too much in the workspace. Maybe they've worked on campus, they've worked in an academic setting. I find they really aren't super happy in the workforce. They kind of they always want to go back to school again and just learn that thing again. They're like, what if I just get a second doctorate or a second PhD? What if I just go to school forever? You know, and that is a valid choice, but it also makes it harder to transition into other stuff if that's what you need to or want to do. And that's a challenge. And I think a part of it is because they haven't really had a chance to do much work, like non-academic work. Like they haven't had a chance to apply their theories in practical ways.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
that can drive you crazy and also completely disconnect you with the way the world really works.
I think it can be a little bit stressful moving from a self-motivated activity like school to a collectivist activity like work, because it's way too many people.
It's a lot of people.
Like way too many cooks in the kitchen. But I've noticed this about students. They will get things done faster. You just like hand something to them and it gets done. Whereas if you hand it to someone who's been in a professional environment, it'll go into a stack of things to do. And it won't get done as quickly. It might be done better. It's hard to say. But with students, I see an impulse towards action. And with professionals who return to being students, I see an impulse towards prioritization. And those are very different skills. I go back to school semi-regularly to just take a class, keep the brain sharp. And I'm always impressed by this interesting dichotomy. The people in classes who are older, students like me, who have been in the workforce, we're working really differently than just like straight students. Those kids are like getting out of class, going to the library, finishing their homework, and then going off somewhere to do the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And we're just like, okay, so we're going to take a break at our regularly scheduled lunchtime.
Yeah.
And then we'll go home and work on our pieces and meet at an established time to collate everything. And I don't know which one I prefer. I always admired students for the speed with which they get things done, because I wish I had that instinct in me anymore. I was doing it at 22, but now I'm just like, it's in my stack now. It'll get done.
The thing is, when you're a little older, you have a much bigger stack. And you learn some vital truths about the world, which is that not everything on your to-do list has to get done. And definitely not everything on it has to get done today or this week. And when you're a student, when you are primarily a student, every piece of work that you are given by your teacher literally has to get done. Otherwise, you're going to get a bad grade. You don't have to do great at it, but you have a week, 2 weeks, a day, and it has to get done. And there are usually no exceptions to that.
Yeah.
That's not the way the real world works oftentimes. Not the real world, but the work world works. You get a bunch of things that need to be done. And then you have to figure out which one of them has to happen next, because oftentimes those deadlines, they are so just made up by someone at a certain point because they want it done by a certain time. Nothing is going to break. No one's going to die if it's not done by a certain time.
Yeah. In the work world, deadlines get pushed all the time.
Oh, they do.
And it really messes with the head of students, because they're like, no, the deadline is absolute. The deadline is my God.
Yeah.
But no, in the work world, it's like, this should get done by this point. And then another team is like, yo, we can't do that.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we're pushing the deadline. And you're like, why did I do all this work?
Yeah.
I could have prioritized other things.
Well, that's the thing. When you're a student, you have a very focused amount of work that is given to you.
Mm-hmm.
Your schoolwork is what is given to you, and you have to do all of it. And you don't have to stack rank it, because it just all has to be done. And you don't get as much thrown at you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have a curriculum where things are assigned to you in a reasonable amount of time. And then there are extra credit options, which you don't have to do, but can make your grade better. However, in the workforce, it's like so much of the work that's thrown at you is actually extra credit, but they will not tell you that.
Yeah. And they also your grade will not be improved.
Your grade will not be improved.
No one will. There is no benefit to you.
No.
And knowing the difference between work that will benefit you and work that will not benefit you is a little bit like scrying.
Yeah.
It takes supernatural abilities to identify which of these will help you advance and which of these will just help you burn out.
Yeah. Because there's the delicate balance, right? It's what will help you advance, what will help, in theory, the company advance, and what's a good thing for the people that you're making this thing for? What will your audience appreciate, right? To me, whatever you're making, it should be wonderful and excellent for the people you're making it for. And it should help you too.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah. But let's not ignore the obvious influence of workplace favorites.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Like you're gonna help your friend. Like you're gonna add your friend's request to your plate. And that may not help you, but it operates in a separate sphere of work.
Oh, yeah.
Where like the prioritization is preference of people. I guess that's an element of politics. To me, it's like the underlying engine of a workplace. Like,
oh, for sure.
All of the relationships and alliances between the different members of staff benefit or deprecate a project in the pipeline. And that's just fun. Because every once in a while, you'll be at a workplace where you really connect to someone who's on your team or on like a synergistic team. Mm-hmm. And you will just own some projects. Like stuff, so much stuff will get done and it'll be done so well. And like the business benefits and you're jazzed because you're working with someone that you like. And that's not always the case. And for like 6 months, it can just be like bliss at work.
Yeah.
But then they leave.
And then you're like, well, I guess I gotta find some other way to have fun. Cool.
And leadership will be like, what happened to this project? And you're like, I don't know. Ask Janine.
What happened to Janine? Oh,
what happened to Janine?
She left. She actually was driving a lot of these key deliverables, and so we're unable to complete them without investing a ton of back-end resources to make sure we get those pieces sorted out. It's like, oh my gosh, geez, just say we don't know because, you know, Janine did all this work and we don't know what happened to the work she did and it's lost in her file somewhere.
Yeah, but Janine was just angry because she wasn't getting promoted at the rate that would be reasonable in any other period in history.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
like Janine has been in that position for 2 years and she has been working above level for at least one of those years and she is done.
Oh, poor Janine.
I miss Janine.
Pour one out for Janine.
Pour one out for Janine and for Janine's coworkers who were left behind.
Yeah. They all missed her. They're like, well, I don't really want to be here either because Janine was amazing. Janine, she was the culture. She knew what was going on. She made being at work fun. And right? You know what?
Yeah. Right. And now Janine's over at another company and she's like poaching members of your staff.
Oh my gosh. It happens all the time. All
Janine's
the time.
Like, come over here. You'll at least get a raise.
Yeah. And the snacks are better too. Ooh. Oh, snap. I'm in. Let's go.
Right. Like people don't talk about this in the news. They're like quiet quitting. Miscellaneous. Nobody wants to work anymore. No, Janine left and Janine is driving the leaving.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if there's someone that really is just amazing to work with in every possible way, they're a hard worker, they're funny, they're interesting, they have good insights, and they just make your life so much easier. The second you leave, you realize how much they are the primary reason you actually came in every day. And so, of course, if Janine is over at another company and says, hey, man, these five people who I really connected with, do you want to come and work over here? We got openings. Like, those people are gone. They are out.
Out. Yeah. And so the cycle of work continues.
The truth is people aren't loyal to companies. They're loyal to people.
Yeah, that's always been the case.
Yeah.
It's possible that people were loyal to companies when companies were loyal to people. But we have no living memory of that time. I hear that it existed. I would love someone to prove that to me.
Well, I think at a certain point, people expressed loyalty to companies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we regularly express loyalty to companies.
Mm-hmm. But is it real?
Is it?
Is it real?
Are we telling the truth?
The question is, do we owe our loyalty to companies?
Do we owe our loyalty to anything that gives us no loyalty?
That's a fair point. Loyalty, it should be a two-way street, I believe.
Yeah, loyalty to me is like trust and love.
Yeah.
Reciprocal or it's a bad thing.
Yeah, and it's not that, you know, a company is doing anything necessarily bad. They just have their priorities and you may not be one of them. So put yourself first in a sexy way.
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Those of you, those like five people in the audience who got that, you know who you are. But yeah. So,
but yeah. And so that's the story of Janine and how she drives economic growth.
I think the moral of the story is if you're at work and you're doing your thing, be like Janine, you know, be the person that works hard, that drives company culture, that is fun and funny to be around because people will be loyal to you because everyone has to work. Just about everyone has to work, yeah. At least that we know. And
not my cat, but no, everyone else.
Most people have to work. And if you are a bright spot in their life and you make their day a little bit better, they'll be way more loyal to you than you could ever imagine. So
yeah, be the Janine. Be the Janine you want to see in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I hope you guys have a great lunch break.
Yeah. Catch y'all on the next one.
See ya.
Bye. This has been Steven.
And Laura.
Thanks for tuning into Midday Musings, the podcast where we talk about all the things on our mind. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and jump into the conversation in our polls and Q&As. We would love to hear from you. Catch you next lunch break.